Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Season 2 of the 147 Podcast with me, Sports MC Phil Seymour, and him, the reigning Players and Tour Champion and former Champion of the World, the magician, Sean Murphy.
And as the dust settles on what I think we can fairly call the fourth major that is the BetVictor Championship League, I have to once again say congratulations, Sean Murphy.
Thank you very much. Phil, yeah, the fourth major. I'm hearing rumours they're going to rename Championship League snooker. They're going to rename the whole Triple Crown package to, you know, the Quad Crown or something like that to include it, because it's obviously, you know, the fourth biggest event in the game.
I think Dave Hendon's had his tattoo amended, his Triple Crown tattoo. He's had it amended. He's had it done over the top to Quadruple Crown now, because, I mean... We've always had a lot of love for Championship League, Sean, on this podcast. Always had a lot of respect. We've always held it in very high regard, Sean, haven't we?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, some of us more than others. But in all seriousness, absolutely thrilled, delighted to win. That's what we play for, isn't it? And of course, some tournaments are bigger than others. Some carry more prize money than others and more prestige. But winning's winning, and winning is difficult. And I didn't realise. Somebody said to me I've been in four of the last finals.
I hadn't realised
that.
Was it four of the last five finals?
Yeah.
And you've won three of them?
Something like that,
is that right?
Yeah,
because it was the Welsh Open, the Tour, the Players, and then obviously the Crucible and now Championship League.
Yeah.
So yeah, four out of the last five and you've won three of them. That's a fairly reasonable hit rate, I'd suggest.
I think that's a decent strike rate, yeah. I suppose what it does do, and I did say this in a recent piece I did with Phil Hague in the Metro, was I think what it really does is it highlights how good a performance it was from Sergio Huia at the Crucible. Because I feel as if I've carried on the form that I showed towards the end of last season. I feel so good at the table and just, you know, in the balls and stuff. But the game that he played at the Crucible now looks even better.
Yeah,
I have carried that form on. You know, it wasn't a flash in the pan. I haven't worked out exactly what the special ingredients are or what the special mix is. I've written off to the owners of KFC to ask them what their special formula is, see if we've got any similarities. But whatever I'm doing is working, and long may it continue.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to see. You know, it's great that we've got the podcast is winning. I'm taking some of this glory. Obviously, I'm going to share in the I'm going to bask in it. And poor Robbie. Your PA. I saw your social media. I mean, to be fair to Robbie, Robbie could fall asleep in Ukraine right now, couldn't he? He could fall asleep anywhere, bless him. But you always managed to get a picture of him completely zonked.
And I'm just thankful because I'm just thankful because he doesn't have that streak that I have. You know, he just doesn't have it because, you know, part of tour life, anyone who travels for a living might be, you know, business people traveling for meeting. It's not as glamorous as they think it is. Musicians touring the country. You know, you spend a lot of time. You learn to sleep wherever you can grab it. You know, I could sleep on a washing line. And if Robbie had the same streak I've got, he could have a few very dangerous pictures of me in very very dodgy sleeping positions myself. So I just, you know, I've got that killer instinct.
He's just far too nice, is Robbie. That's what it is. But if you've not seen it, get on Sean's social media at Magician147. Some great pictures of Robbie, fast asleep, snoring his head off on the boat. And why not? I'm sure you'll have celebrated with a jar or two, perhaps.
Yeah, we did. We managed to find a lovely cocktail bar called Gadabout in Leicester, where they were still open. They have quite a late license because those days are long days, you know, those championship leagues. And of course, on the finals day, which I've, you know, not been to since 2011, there's an extra match to be played at the end of the day. So you're already knackered. And then they throw a best of five at you for the tournament. So by the time we got out of the venue and got changed and stuff, it was cracking on. So it wasn't an all night party celebration, but it was good. It's good. And I think anytime you win, I think it's really important to celebrate because you do taste that bitter, horrible taste of defeat much more often than winning. So when you do win, I think it's important to celebrate.
What did they say? Losing's got to hurt and winning's got to matter. And if they don't, then there's no point, is there? You're wasting your time. So, listen, congratulations. Great way to start the season. And, of course, what happened last season? Who won the Championship League at the start of last season?
I know. Well, listen, if I follow in Luca Brasel's footsteps, I'll be a very happy bunny come the end of the season.
Should we get it out of the way now, by the way? Luca Brasel watch. He is in Hong Kong currently. Luca Brasel. He is literally circumnavigating the world, absolutely living it up, is Luca Brasel. And we're loving watching your social media updates, Luca, so keep it going, my friend. It's absolutely fantastic to see. So this is going to be our season preview. We did one last season where we, of course, tipped up Luca Brasel as having a big year. We also tipped up Bing Tao and Shin Tong, so let's not talk too loudly about that. But we did tip Luca Brasel up last year. We are going to do our season preview. We're going to go through the top 16 players in the world rankings right now and look at how we think their prospects are for the season, including you, Sean, of course. But you have just won Championship League. Fantastic way to start the season off. We do the preview after Championship League because we've always sort of said the season doesn't really get going properly until after Championship League, but we're taking it the big one now. In other news, before we get into all of that, I've got some news myself as well. I will be the MC once again for the Bet Victor Home Nation series, starting with the English Open in Brentwood in October. And I'll also be the MC once again for the shootout this year. We mentioned it on the last podcast on the, I think it's the 6th to the 9th, is it, of December, down in Swansea at the Swansea Arena. A mad 4 days of action. So I'll be the MC for those, the last 3 days of each Home Nations event. And the shootout, tickets for all of those available at wst.tv/tickets. And hopefully I'll see some of you there. Always great to bump into people that listen to the podcast and get your feedback, good or bad. And we don't mind it either way, do we, Sean?
Well, we prefer good feedback, don't we?
Always. And, you know, if people want to buy us drinks, that's gratefully appreciated. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, listen, I'd be happy if you bought a drink. That'd be nice.
I'm a half Scottish Yorkshireman. You want me to buy a drink? Are you mad?
Madness.
No chance. Right, before we get into it, one thing I'd like to mention. A young man, 13-year-old James Bradley, is doing a 12-hour snookathon at Hyde Snooker Club from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. Saturday the 12th of August, raising money for a local dementia charity. If you can support him, please do get down there and support him if you can. And James, 12 hours of snooker at 13 years of age. That's some challenge, that, Sean.
Well, Mark Selby calls that a best of seven.
as many as that? Really? So there you go. So that is Saturday, 12th of August, Hyde Snooker Club. James, if you are listening, or I think it was your dad that messaged us, if you're listening, all the very best. Good luck. Hope it all goes well. I'm sure it will do. yeah, what a great challenge and what a great thing to raise money for. So fantastic. Good luck, James. Right, into the season preview then, Sean. What we're going to do is go through the top 16. We did the same thing last season. We'll go through the top 16 in the world and then we'll look slightly broader than that afterwards. So let's begin with the current world number 16, who is Big Ryan Day, the British Open champion. 4 ranking titles, 24 years since turning pro. Won the British Open last year. What are we thinking about Ryan's chances this season?
Well, this is something I'm going to say about a lot of these players, if not most of them. You know, Ryan has the potential to win any event that he enters. And I suppose it's a little bit of a question mark as to how or why he hasn't won more throughout his career. Was one of the most highly decorated junior and amateur players that I remember coming through in my junior days. And as I say, has the potential to win any week. He hasn't had many weeks in the sun, but on his day, he's capable of beating absolutely anybody.
Do you know what? Going through this earlier on, because believe it or not, we do actually prepare for the podcast. Going through this, I was looking at the top 16, making a few notes on each one. And the reason Ryan Day hasn't won more is the strength in depth on the tour at the moment is absolutely ridiculous. You look at the top 16, and like you just said about Ryan, I think any of these players could win any event on their day. If they're on form, they potentially could win the event. You then throw in the likes of Ding, who's not in the top 16 currently. You throw in the likes of Stuart Bingham, who's not in the top 16 currently. You look at some of these players and you think, goodness me, the strength in depth on the tour right now is just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I saw that for myself just this week as the draw for the European Masters has been released. My match has been held over to Nuremberg and I've been drawn against, former world champion Graham Dott in the first round. You know, like that's the first rounder. the strength in depth, as you say, is absolutely right. What I will say for Ryan is I know over the last couple of seasons, and I'm saying this assuming that things are still the same. I don't know this to be fact, but I think he is still working with Chris Henry. And I know, obviously, having worked and worked with Chris for a long time and been part of creating a lot of those processes that Chris teaches his students, these things do take a little bit of time to germinate and come through into players' games. So this season could be a big season for Ryan. If those things that he's been working on with Chris Henry in the background start to come through, don't be surprised if Ryan Day has a big season.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Ryan Day. World number 16. By the way, if you've got any comments on any of these, please do hit us up social media at 147pod. So that's Ryan Day, world number 16. Moving on then to the world number 15, the Tyneside Terror, Gary Wilson, reigning Scottish Open champion. First ranking event up in Edinburgh. He's reached finals before, 2015, the China Open, and then the 2021 British Open, where he did his slightly infamous post-match interview with Rob Walker in the arena that was absolutely classic. Won his first ranking event last season. Can Gary Wilson kick on from there?
Yeah, I think he can. I think he's been one of those players, who's been gradually improving every season, you know, for the last 6, 7, 8 seasons, getting a little bit better every year. And there's absolutely no reason why, as defending Scottish Open champion, the confidence that's given him, that must have given him, can't spur him on to bigger and better things. Why couldn't he, you know, win another Home Nations event, win a bigger event if he gets to the World Grand Prix, qualifies for it? I'm not going to say this about every single player, but just take it as assumed. He could win any event that he enters this year. That's the last time I'm going to say that. But he could. He's been playing quite a lot of pool in the off-season. Which is, you know, it's everyone's choice. There's a lot of us getting invited to play the different formats, the English pool and the 9-ball with Matchroom. So he's been fairly busy. Absolutely no reason why he couldn't kick on and go on to bigger and better things.
Can that affect your snooker game? Yeah, but he's been off playing 9-ball. He's had some real good success at 9-ball, by the way. He's gone quite deep, I think, in one of the tournaments. Can that affect you? I know, like, people that play golf and cricket, one sport affects the other, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in golf and cricket, there are some very, very different techniques used to hit the ball in particular shapes. In snooker, there obviously are differences. You know, the size of the balls are different, the weight of the balls are different, and obviously the rules are different. But, you know, really, I think it's a bit of a myth that playing too much pool can affect your snooker or vice versa. I don't think that's really fair on either discipline.
Fair enough. Oh, we'll see how it goes on this season. So that's Gary Wilson, the world number 15. Okay, moving on. The world number 14 is Jackpot Jack Lizowski. 13 years as a pro. He's reached 6 finals. In those finals, he's run into Neil Robertson twice, Mark Selby once, and then his best mate, Judd Trump, 3 times. Good season for Jack last season, actually. He sort of kind of did it on the quiet a little bit. Semi-final of the Masters, semi-finals of the UK, semi-finals of the German Masters as well. Yeah, I'm going to use your term. Is his game trending in the right direction?
Well, I'm going to go and say it. I think this will be Jack's breakthrough year. I think he'll win a tournament this year.
Yeah, I've actually got written down here, first ranking title this season.
Yeah, I think it's coming. I think you knock on the door long enough, I think eventually somebody lets you in. And, you know, when you read out the names of people who've beaten him in ranking finals so far, you know, it's the who's who of snooker, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's not like he's been losing to people he should beat. He's been losing to people who are, you know, seeded to beat him. So I think this will be his year. I think he will break through and win a ranking event this season. And it could be like the breaking of a dam with Jack. It could be, you know, waiting for a London bus. You wait for ages and then they all come along at once. Once he wins one, he could win a handful.
He's got class. We talked about it in the last podcast. You know, the natural talent and ability that he's got, the flair that he plays with is beautiful to watch. I mean, it's poetry. When he's flowing, it's absolute poetry. And it's a cliche that it's only a matter of time. But yeah, go on. We'll both stick our necks on the line then and say this is the season Jack Lizowski will win a ranking title. There we go. We're making the big statements early doors. Right, that was Jack. World number 13 is Rob Milkins, the Welsh Open champ. Who did he beat in the final of the Welsh Open? Oh, sorry, Sean. Professionals, it's 1995. He won the Gibraltar Open in 2021, just after Turkey, where things weren't quite so good for him. And then he won the Welsh Open in 22. Is there another ranking title for the Milkman this season?
I mean, why not? I think as well. On top of that, you know, let's not forget it. The bonus, the Bet Victor bonus that he won last year, and that was, you know, there was only one prize bigger in snooker last year, and that was Luca Brasel winning the World Championship in terms of money. That surely must make a difference, mustn't it? You know, when that type of money hits the bank account, and that must relieve some pressure if there's pressure in your life, financial stresses, whatever they might be. You know, the bones of £300,000 with, you know, getting into the Champion of Champions and whatever else the bonus sort of ensued, included. That must take some pressure off, surely.
Well, that can work both ways.
With that now in play, he could be very dangerous.
That can work both ways, though, can't it? That can be comfort, or it can take away the hunger, or it can make you comfortable and to strive for more. It can go both ways, that one.
Yeah, I guess so. I just would say somebody like Robert, who's you said just said their term pro in 95, you know, doesn't have a trophy cabinet at home full of trophies. You know, has been trying and has been hungry for a very, very long time. I don't think you turn that hunger off in a heartbeat. And I'd say the fire still burns brightly in Robert. And I would think with that injection of confidence, he would be very dangerous going into this new season.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. He's a great guy, Rob Milkins, as well. If you've never met Rob Milkins, he's a real character, and a thoroughly, thoroughly decent guy to chat to. So, yeah, here's hoping the Milkman has another good season ahead of him. Right, in 12th on the world rankings currently is Ali Carter, the reigning German Masters champion, 5-time ranking event winner. We know all about Ali, don't we? He's another one of those players who, a bit like Ryan Day, probably should have won more ranking titles. His career has sadly been curtailed with illness and everything else, but he just always battles back. He's always dangerous. I mean, to win the German Masters is no mean feat, is it?
Absolutely not. And, you know, we sit here about and saying about Ali Carter could have won more, should have won more. We could be sat here talking about a twice world champion.
Yeah,
you know, two world finals, ran into O'Sullivan both times, playing snooker from the gods. I think against anyone else, we could be sat here talking about someone who was a double world champion. Got every shot in the book, very classy on and off the table. I'm not 100%, because he seems to come and go. He seems to run into veins of form and then disappear for tournament after tournament, and then he'd pop up again and do really well. I think has he won the German Masters twice?
I think so, yeah.
I think he may have won the... So some sort of seems to pop into good form around that time of year, around New Year, the turn of the year. Seems to do, has a good run at the Masters, plays well in the German Masters. His first ranking event was the Welsh Open, which was that time of year as well. So I don't know if it's something about Christmas, New Year that suits him. But he does seem to do well. And I think if I were him, though, I'd be... You know, I'd really be trying to now, right, you know, work out where do I go? Because, as I say, he does go off. He goes missing for long periods of time for no obvious reason. And it's for him to try and work that out and, you know, bring us some of that post-Christmas form, pre-Christmas.
When he was outside of the top 16, obviously there's more chance of drawing him earlier in tournaments, isn't there? Was he one of those players outside the top 16 that as a top 16 player, when you draw him in a draw, you sort of go, oh, God, not Ali Carter?
Yeah, 100%. You don't want to play Ali at any stage of a tournament. When he comes out the hat against you, you just go, oh, that's... Not that any match is easy, you know, I'm not trying to say that, but, you know, obviously some players are more difficult to beat than others. That's just the fact of the game.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, amateurs are a walk in the park, Sean, aren't they?
Aren't they? Yeah. I'm not getting involved in any conversations about amateurs going forward.
No, let's not. So there you go. That's Ali Carter. Right. Now, 11th in the world rankings. This is a bit of a curate's egg, is this one. Zhao Xintong. Now, we're not going to discuss him. He's not playing this season, obviously, for obvious reasons. He's not on the tour currently. He's still showing in the world rankings, though, Sean. Do you have any idea what happens there? Does he stay in the rankings until his points just naturally drop off, or... will he get taken out of the rank? How does it work?
Do you know, I've got absolutely no idea. I think there are two veins of thought on it. There was once you're suspended, if your length of suspension means that mathematically you would drop off tour, then I think there was a body of players at a meeting recently that was suggesting, well, he should just be struck from the rankings. And I think WPBSA's standpoint, WPBSA, it's important to make the distinction, WPBSA control the ranking list, not WST. WPBSA, there was some legal reason as to why that couldn't happen or didn't happen. I'm not sure what the upshot of that's been. But as you say, Xintong is probably the only player on this list who we can make a 100% accurate prediction this season. He will win nothing.
This is very true, actually, yeah, unless he buys a lottery ticket or something. But yeah, but he won't be winning any snooker matches. That is absolutely for sure. So we'll have to all wait and see, I suppose, what happens in the rankings with Xintong. Okay, let's move on then to a player we know very, very well at number 10 on the world rankings, the Welsh potting machine, Mark Williams, 24 ranking titles, three-time world champion, Masters finalist last season, and of course... it's the player that you beat in Championship League in the final this week. Willow.
What can you say about, you know, the class of 92, these players? You know, there's obviously two more of them in this list ahead of Mark Williams. Their longevity is astounding, isn't it?
It is. Are they on the wane?
Well, it's very hard to say that because the king of them all, Ronnie O'Sullivan from the class of 92, is number one in the world. So it's very hard to suggest that they're on the wane. When I look at Mark Williams playing up close the other day, yes, I beat him in the final, but, you know, he's beat me many times. You watch somebody, he's just got so much ring craft, so much table, you know, ship. He knows every single shot in the book and looks still as capable as he ever did, frankly. Looks like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Looks like nothing bothers him at all. Obviously, we know that's not true. But you know, he still looks as hungry and as determined as he ever has done. and still very, very dangerous because of that. So I think Mark will win something this year. I'm not sure what it'll be, but I think he will be in the winner's enclosure this season. I think with Mark, it depends how much golf he plays.
Well, he was reckoned he played 36 holes. Was it on the day of the final, the day before, or he's what is he thinking? Man, get some rest.
He sent me a picture actually, because I tweeted or something or Instagrammed after our final saying that was the first trophy of the season, and the next day he sent me a picture of a scorecard. He'd been playing golf and he'd won the club competition he was playing in. So he said, "I got my first trophy this season as well, but in a different sport."
Can we mention the trophy, by the way?
Yes.
It's massive, isn't it, that trophy? I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, I let's just say I didn't have to buy any extra luggage for it on the way home.
Someone, I think it was Snooker Pro, the German snooker bloggers, they did a Championship League trophies through the years. And I think the first one was like I can't remember who won it now. The first one was like literally the size of the top half of their body and head, and it towered over them. And the next one was just their torso. And then last year's was kind of a forearm length. And then there was one you got, and they put, next year's you'll be able to hide it behind a piece of chalk.
I can only assume that whoever's modelling these trophies are taking their ideas from that. Did you see that in the news like a couple of weeks ago? There was a Louis Vuitton bag that was the same size as a grain of salt.
Yes. What's that all about?
Yeah. They must be coming from the same people.
Yeah, they're the trophy manufacturers. Just on the class of 92, for people that listen that aren't snooker fans, but when we say class of 92, we're talking about Mark Williams, we're talking about John Higgins, we're talking about Ronnie O'Sullivan, okay? Those three are widely regarded as the class of 92. That's when they made their debut. They've been the dominating forces in the snooker world pretty much ever since then as well. Am I right in thinking that the three of them didn't win a ranking event last year? Or last season?
Yeah, and I think I think that may well be the first time that's happened.
Yeah, which
is... I've got a feeling that's correct.
I mean, Ronnie won Champion of Champions, which is Invitational, Hong Kong Masters, with those amazing pockets, which is Invitational. John Higgins won the Invitational version of Championship League, and Mark didn't have a tournament win last year. Is that a sign?
Well, it's the first time it's happened, so you know it's possibly the biggest indicator that something is on the change. But as I say, I mean, you know, they're still in the top 10 in the world. I think we're clutching at straws a little bit, but they're just so good, and they carry such a weight of respect, you know, within the game. When they enter the room, everyone kind of, you know, stops talking a little bit, and you know they're revered, you know, amongst us snooker folk. I always feel sorry for all the other players who turned pro in 1992 or the class of 92 as well. You know, didn't Joe Perry turn pro?
I think he did. Yeah, I think Joe did. Yeah.
No, he's not included in that triumvirate. But, are they on the wane? I mean, they're 47, 48 years of age. I mean, they're a good 7 or 8 years ahead of me. So maybe they might be on the wane, but they're still very good.
There's nothing wrong with 47, 48, by the way. That's a man just coming into his prime, I'd suggest. They're very different, aren't they, as well? The three of them are very, very different characters. People sort of bracket them together. I know Willow's always very, very quick to say, oh, don't bracket me in with John and Ronnie. They're a different level, which they're not. You know, Mark is and always has been, had that real class about him. But as characters, the three of them couldn't be more different, could they?
No, they're all very different. And, you know, I would know a couple of them better than, you know, the other. I don't know Ronnie at all, particularly, I have to say. Keeps himself very much to himself on the tour, always has done. I know John a little bit. I used to spend a bit of time with John back in the day. He was very generous to me as a young player. I even went and stayed at his house a couple of times when I was trying to learn the trade. I would have played a bit of golf with Mark over the years. Obviously, we're both users of the site, Right Tech, and we're involved with each other in that way. But, would have had great games with them all over the years. Would have seen them at various occasions over the years. And yeah, you're right, they're very, very different as people. One thing they do have in common is they are absolute titans on the table.
Yeah, they are. And it's a pleasure to watch them. And if it's a big if, they are coming towards the end of their careers, enjoy watching them. Just make the most of it, because they're special players, and players like that do not come along all the time. Okay, let's move on to the world number 9. We've just talked about him. He is John Higgins, the Wizard of Wishaw. He won the Championship League Invitational last season, 31 ranking titles, 4 world titles. He had a quiet season by his very, very high standards last season.
Yeah, I think he's spoken quite openly in recent seasons that did he get to the world final 3 times, sort of toward, you know, in the 18, 19 and 20 or so, 17,
yeah,
18,
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. And he didn't convert either of those opportunities. I think he's spoken quite openly that really knocked the wind out of his sails. And as we push on into 23, 24, if one of them is on the wane, I would probably say it was John, although John is ranked higher than Mark. You wonder with John. John looks as if he has that sort of one elementary basic mistake in him every now and again that he certainly didn't have at the peak of his career. Every now and again he throws one and you just go, wow, how did he miss that or what happened there? Very un-John Higgins like. And I think that's why he's perhaps suffered a few more defeats than we've seen. But again, you know, like we say about Williams and O'Sullivan, you know, that just knows every single trick in the book, got every shot in the book, seen it all before, created some plays, knows them all inside and out. And when it all comes together, just too good.
Yeah, it's funny. He's had a funny run of finals as John. I'm just looking now, actually. In his last 8 ranking event finals, he's won 1. He's won 1 out of his last 8. So that was there's 2 world finals in there, you're right, 18 and 19. China Championship in 18. He won the Players' Championship in 21. Do you remember that week? That was absolutely ridiculous. That was the week when he just literally swept everyone aside. I think, did he lose
a frame or something in the whole tournament? Or something silly?
Well, he won the final. He beat Ronnie 10-3 in the final. And it was the one where he beat Selby, and Selby scored like 30 points in the entire match or something ridiculous. He was just phenomenal. He's then, his last 4, which he's lost, Northern Ireland Open in 21 to the Pistol, English Open in 21 to Robbo, the Scottish Open in Clandidno to Luca Brissell, and then the Tour Championship in 22 to Neil Robertson. Now, that Players' Championship final, by the way, absolutely brilliant. He beat Ronnie 10-3. I was the MC for that. And it was the mid-session interval in the evening session. I think John only needed 1 more frame to win it. And I went backstage to welcome the players back out. And Ronnie turned up first. He was early, which is quite rare for Ronnie. And I looked at him. I said, "You're right, Ronnie." He says, "Phil," he says, "I just want to go home, mate." That's really that bad. And he says, "When John Higgins is playing like this," he says, "there is literally nothing you can do." He says, "Just get me in that car and get me home." He says, "because there's no way I'm winning this match." And he was just getting absolutely battered. But that week, I mean, the term snooker from the gods is one that's quite overused. But that week, he was just ridiculous, was John. I think the first round, didn't he play Jordan Brown? Jordan had just won the Welsh and was on a complete high. Got to Milton Keynes for that tournament. And John just, I think he dismantled him sort of 10-0 or something in that first match or whatever it was. And it was just, oh, completely brutal. But then I suppose it took the edge off that for Jordan that he then did that to everyone else that week as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had it so many times in my career when you lose heavily to somebody and you just pray that they go on and have a good week. And Jordan would have been riding the crest of a wave, having just won the Welsh Open. I remember that, you know, and he got the ticket into that event off the back of it. I think even the dress code for the next event might have been different. I think someone in his family or a friend might have had to come over with a waistcoat.
They had to FedEx him across. They had to send him across to him because I think he booked his travel home because it was in it was at Celtic Manor. Up in Celtic Manor was the Welsh and. That was Home Nations, which is the black button-up shirts. And then, of course, that tournament, you're in waistcoats and bow ties. And he had to he had to call someone at home and say, "look, just send my waistcoat over, send a white shirt over, send a bow tie over because I'm going to need him." And I think he played, was it the Tuesday or the Wednesday? So I think he travelled on the Monday. And I think he had like a couple of days. So he had a chance to get those in, do all the media stuff that goes with it. And then he had to play John Higgins, who was absolutely red hot that week and literally could not be touched. He was phenomenal. And John can do that, and there's nothing to say that John won't turn up to the next event and do exactly that to everyone that he plays, is there?
Absolutely not. He was my nemesis in my early pro career. Every time I got to my personal best in an event, in ranking events, until I won the World Championship in 05, every time I got to my PB in an event, I seemed to run into Higgins. It might have been that, I think it was the last 32 in the LG Cup. Then it was the quarterfinals somewhere else. Then it was the semi-finals of the British Open earlier that season. I ran into him. I made a break of 30, and I hardly scored a point after that. He beat me 6-0.
Wow.
And when I remember running into him in the second round of the World Championship in 05, I just thought I was lose. I just thought I was going to lose. I didn't think there was any way I would win. Why would I? And so I remember when I beat him, I knew that was a big feather in my cap. Somebody who commands immense respect as a snooker player. And, you know, to be cliche, just to finish off, could win any tournament he plays.
Absolutely could. You did say that will be the last time you said that, but there you go. Okay, that is 8 of the top 16 players in the world covered. We have the top 8 players in the world to go. We will talk about them after this very short break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the 147 podcast with Sean Murphy and Phil Seymour. If you like what you're listening to, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to interact with us across all forms of social media at 147pod. That's the words at 147pod. Now, just to demonstrate what I was saying before about the strength in depth, okay, we've got 8 players to go, and yet we've already talked about Mark Williams and John Higgins. You know, it's the quality on the tour at the moment really is phenomenal. Okay. 8 players left to go. Then we've got a few questions from listeners, and we're going to talk about the season as a whole as well. So let's talk about the world number 8, who is the warrior, Kyron Wilson, reigning European Masters champion. That, of course, is, I think, the next, I was going to say the first tournament of the season, but you've already won that, Sean, haven't you? So it's the next tournament this season. 5-time ranking event winner, finalist in the Tour Championship last season. You still think there's big things around the corner for Kyron, don't you?
Well, as well as the Jack Lazowski prediction, I'm going to make another prediction. This will be the season that Kyron Wilson wins a Triple Crown event.
Oh, that's a big prediction. Do you know what? Yeah, I think that's a good shout, actually.
Now, just be careful, because we're in danger of starting to agree with each other, Phil.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree with you that much. I mean, look at your hair for a start-off shot.
Today I have the hair of somebody who travelled all day yesterday and who has sat in front of the Open Golf on Sky Sports all day and not done a thing.
It's like a cross between Elvis and Rick Astley, and I'm not sure which it is. But anyway, back to the point. Kyron Wilson. So you're reckoning Kyron Wilson is going to win a Triple Crown, a quadruple crown, isn't it now? Because Championship League. A quadruple crown title this season. That's a massive shout.
Yeah, I do. I just think his game is becoming so strong in all areas. I know that he and his team work around peaking for all those big events. And I think this is going to be the year that he does it. Don't know which one. Don't know when it'll be. But I think he'll win one of the Triple Crown events this season. And he may... he may, if he's lucky, become the best rest player in the world.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. There you go. That's Sean Lee. I think laying down the gauntlet to Kieron Wilson as much as anything. I mean, we all know that you hate Kieron. You and Kieron hate each other, don't you? We've dispelled that myth a few times on this podcast, to be fair. But now let's carry it on. Yeah, they hate it. You hate him, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. God.
Absolutely. Okay, world number seven is the magician, Sean Murphy, the reigning Players and Tour champion. He started the season with a bang, winning the first major of the four in Championship League this week.
I think, hang on, if you just listen loud, clearly, if you just listen hard enough, you can just hear Dave Hendon setting fire to himself.
Dave Hendon loves it. You know Dave Hendon absolutely loves it. 12 ranking titles now, Sean. 2005 world champion. Yeah, your game was trending in the right direction and everything else. It's interesting. We talked about pressure when we talked about Robert Milkins before and that money in the bank he's got from the BetVictor bonus. You were playing under a lot of pressure last season. It's fair to say, okay, you had a lot of ranking points to come off from the world final. And your ranking position was looking pretty perilous. If we're honest, we talked about it very openly on this podcast. You know, right from the start of the season, I know it was something that was in your mind. We talked about it. You were looking at that and keeping an eye on it. And there was a risk that you could drop out of those upper echelons. You needed a big season. You had a big season. Okay. You had a great season. You know, you won two big ranking events and big performances elsewhere. Is that pressure off you this? Can you play with a bit more freedom and a bit less pressure this season? Or do you put more pressure on yourself to beat last season?
It's a great question. I think you're always looking to go better, aren't you? You're always looking to improve. And what last season has done for me now is it's put the possibility of getting to the top of the rankings in my sights. That's always been a goal I've had from being a young boy. And it's one of the few targets I've sat myself in snooker that I've never achieved. So that's definitely on my list of targets for this season, to get to, you know, when we do the close of season podcast, you know, at the end of the World Championships, to be number one in the world. That's my goal, or one of my goals, I should say. And I couldn't have made a better start. I've got almost no points to defend from two seasons ago. All I can do is catch players in front of me. There was a small hint of satisfaction when I checked snooker.org this morning for the updated one-year list rankings and saw me at the top, looking down at everyone else. That will change. That will change rapidly in the coming months. Absolutely no question. But, you know, I couldn't have made a better start. And obviously full of optimism and confidence for what I hope will be a great season. But again, going back to the piece I did with Phil Haig, you know, I think with age comes perspective and maturity. I do fully appreciate that whatever bubble I'm now in, whatever vein of form I've found, it will pass. And you will run into players like I did with Si Jiahui, who just will play you off the table.
Yep.
Snooker is not an exact science. You can perform well, prepare well, and lose. So that is going to happen again this season. And you have to, you know, you have to ride those highs and lows, you know, with the same sort of decency as you do all the others. So I'm hoping for good things. I'm going to prepare for good things. But, you know, I'm old enough to know that they don't always come as you want them to.
Realistically, to achieve that dream of becoming the world number one, you've got to win the world, haven't you?
It definitely helps. But I mean, you've got to be in the right position. You know, Luca Brasel won the world championships and isn't world number one. So it's not a silver bullet. It doesn't necessarily get you there. You've got to be within striking distance. I think if you're in the mix, then, you know, I think you've kind of got to, because someone can, it's so valuable. You know, you'd have to do so well throughout the season prior to the world championship to be over $500,000 ahead that it didn't matter if you didn't win it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's never happened. I mean, it's happened this season. But Luca wasn't within striking distance, was the point I'm trying to make. if he'd been top four, top five, he definitely would have been. So, yeah, listen, it's kind of a given. But if you're close enough by the time you get there, it's perhaps not essential.
So you I know, because we talk, you've set goals for yourself. Are you willing to share any of those goals for the season, or are you going to leave that to the end of the season again?
No, I set a few for myself. I mean, they're not. Some of them are exciting. Some of them are quite mundane. I mean, I ticked two off by winning the Championship League. One was to win an event.
Yep.
Anytime you're in the winner's enclosure. So that's that box is ticked. And I was reliably informed by Phil Yates that by doing that, mathematically, they've probably done enough to get in the World Grand Prix already. Secured my place in World Grand Prix.
That seems crazy, doesn't it? That seems mad.
Yeah. So that was one of my goals, as is to qualify for, you know, the Players' Champs and the Tour Champs. Obviously, as defending champion of both of those events,
yeah,
it'd be slightly embarrassed if you weren't there to defend them when they do swing round. It's happened before, and it's happened to me before, so I don't want to do that again. I think I was the winner of the very first Players' Championship when it was held in Dublin, maybe in 2010, something like that. And I didn't qualify for it the following season. I was mortally embarrassed watching it from home. So I don't want a repeat of that. And, you know, I have set the clear target of getting to the top of the rankings by the end of the season. That's a goal of mine. There's a few other little goals and targets in there to keep me interested and to keep me going. But I'll keep them to myself just for the time being.
You do right too. I'm sure everyone listening to the podcast wishes you well for the season. Sean, I know I certainly do. World number six, a player who that's happened to, I think, actually, was it last season? Neil Robertson was, I think, did he win the players in the tour? He certainly won one of them and didn't qualify for them. The Thunder from Down Under last season won the mixed doubles with Mink, 23 ranking titles. He had a quiet one, really. Semi-finals, I don't think he reached any finals last year of ranking events. Semi-finals of, I think, the Scottish, the English, and I think Northern Ireland as well. By Neil's very high standard, that was an incredibly quiet year.
And isn't that the problem with being one of the best players of all time?
Yeah,
you set such incredibly high standards, and you set the bar so high. You have a season that a lot of other players, most other players, would consider a really good season, and then everyone else says, "Oh well, Neil had a quiet year." He always looks to me like he could win at a moment's notice if he's. I'm not going to say if he's interested, because yeah. I know he's interested every time he turns out. He is an absolute ultimate professional in that regard. He can't catch a plane on time, but he is the ultimate pro at being prepared for every event.
It's really funny.
If he gets to the right venue.
He had, not the wrong Barnsley. He had some problems with illness, I think definitely first half of last season. I think it dragged on as well. He just seemed to keep getting bugs. It's his daughter and my daughter were born, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks apart. And after one of the tournaments, it might have been Scotland, it might have been the Scottish Open, he said to me, he says, "Phil," he says, "is your toddler trying to kill you the same as mine's trying to kill me?" And he said, "She seems to come home with every single bug under the sun and just immediately give it to me." And I was like, "Well, yeah, that's kind of what toddlers do, and they seem to absolutely revel in it." But he seemed to really struggle with that. I think it did seem to affect him. And whether it meant he wasn't practicing as much, whether it meant he just didn't feel well in himself and couldn't perform, I don't know. But I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm expecting a backlash this season from Neil. I think Neil will make up for last season in spades this season. I'm expecting multiple ranking titles.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because I want to agree with you. And I understand why you're saying what you're saying. But then I think he went on record as saying that he was entering Championship League because he wanted to hit the ground running. Now, in fairness, he either said that or somebody said it about him. And I'm not 100% sure which way around that is, so I'm choosing my words carefully. But then he pulled out of Championship League. And I was very surprised, because I was like you, thinking he'll hit the ground running this season. It's good to see him enter Championship League, get him going, get him back into the swing of things. You know, he'd be fairly underplayed from last season. And then he pulled out. Now, of course, there could be a whole host of reasons why he pulled out of Championship League. I wouldn't want to go into that at all, and who knows why he did. But, you know, without any of that information, it's easy to assume that perhaps he just changed his mind.
He did win an award. He did have a win last week, though. He's been painting his Warhammer figures again. As Neil, he's big into his Warhammer, and he did win a prize at a competition for painting Warhammer figures this last week while you were busy winning the fourth major that is Championship League. So whether he's keeping his mind busy doing that, I don't know, but I suppose it's good to have a hobby alongside snooker.
You can't take the opinion of any 40-year-old man who still bleaches his hair seriously.
Wow.
We had to do a piece last season or the season before where we were all hauled into a room and we filmed a piece with BBC where we had to describe, you know, respective top 16 players with one word. And the interviewer came around and we got to Neil Robertson, and so I've got to describe him with one word, and mine was bleach. I don't think they ever used it.
Wow. That's... Do you remember his hair after lockdown? That was a thing of wonder, wasn't it? I mean, that was amazing. As an aside, Neil Robertson, one of the nicest guys you will ever meet. Really kind soul, really, really great guy. I'm saying I'm expecting multiple titles. I actually hope he does. Got a lot of time for Neil. Really good guy, really good family.
Can I say this as well? As you're saying that, is there anyone... Well, I mean, there aren't many players who are easier on the eye when in full flow, is there?
Oh, Robbo, yeah. I think it's Robbo and Jack Lizowski are up there, aren't they? It's those two.
When in full peacock mode, there are very few players better to watch than Neil Robertson.
I took my dad to... My dad's always played snooker. Always played snooker his whole life. He's quite old now. And he'd never actually been to watch snooker. I took him to the UK Championships. And because he's disabled, I took him in early, sort of ahead of the doors opening, because I'm lucky I can do things like that. And I said, right, where do you want to sit, Dad? There's four tables, where do you want to sit? And he said, right, who's on? And I was like, well, okay, such and such there, such. And I think tables one and two, I think Robbo was on table one, Jack Lizowski was on table two. And my dad said, right, I want to sit in between those two tables. He said, because I want to watch those two play live. And I think as a snooker fan, which I am, I think a lot of snooker fans can echo exactly what my dad said there, because like you've just said, so easy on the eye. I mean, it's almost effortless, isn't it? When he gets in full flow, it's a beautiful thing to watch is Robbo playing. So yeah, hopefully we can see more of that this season and a better season for Neil Robertson. Moving on then to the world number five, a player you know very, very well. The reigning English Open WST Classic champion, the jester from Leicester, Mark Selby, reached the final at the Crucible, of course. 22 ranking titles, 4 world championships, semi-finals in the Tour Championship and the Champion of Champions. After a very turbulent year, it's fair to say Mark Selby came roaring back last season, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, if we ever needed a reminder that, you know, class doesn't go away, it was last season, wasn't it? And form's temporary, class is permanent and all that. Shouldn't have been in the latter stages of the English Open. That one still hurts a bit. I missed match ball against him to knock him out, I think, in the quarterfinals. But you know, just always gives 100%. I had the pleasure of watching his run to the world final this year from very close quarters in my role with the BBC, obviously, and was in the studio that night, feet from the table. As he made his 147, the first 147 in the World Championship final ever. And what a moment that was. And of course, the videos were circulated and they're still on my Instagram feed from the after party that spilled over at 6 in the morning into the lobby of the hotel. So we had a great time. I've known him, we've been friends for the best part of 30 years since we were boys. You know, knocked lumps out of each other as kids, and we've continued to as pros. will win again this year. It's almost a racing certainty. And, you know, will feature, whether he'll win them or not is up for debate, but will feature in the majors as well, for sure.
He absolutely will, yes. That was Mark Selby. Right, the world number four, the ace in the pack, Judd Trump, the reigning Masters champion, of course, 23 ranking titles, 2019 world champion, finals last season, World Grand Prix, and champion of champions. This is going to sound ridiculous because he won the Masters, he reached the final of the World Grand Prix, and the champion of champions. Did Judd underperform last season?
Well, he certainly didn't hit the heights in terms of performance that he has in recent seasons. You know, we didn't see much of that naughty snooker that he's made his own over the last, you know, decade. It's very hard to say that of somebody who wins the second biggest tournament.
It is, isn't it? It sounds ridiculous, but I think it's the bar that he's set over the last, what, 4 or 5 years. You're right. It's really difficult. It's like I sort of half overlooked the Masters because it's not a ranking event. So I don't take it out because it's massive. It's absolutely huge. But I don't know. I look at that and
Would you say the Championship League is higher than the Masters then? Because it carries ranking points.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fourth major, isn't it?
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I think it goes Worlds, Championship League, UK, Masters. I mean, that's the obvious... The obvious, just for anyone listening, by the way, we are joking. Dave Hendon hasn't got the tattoo, all right? He hasn't got quadruple crown on his arm,
Dave,
I promise you.
Dave, yeah. Dave,
stop
don't
it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't go in that tattoo parlor, Dave. I think we've sort of come to expect Judd to win multiple ranking events.
I remember those seasons during the lockdown period where he was winning 5 and 6 ranking events throughout that period of time. And, you know, it was just, there were so many contributing factors to the reasons why that happened, you know, top of the list being he was just played better than everyone else more often than not. But he definitely was the player most able to get his head around the fact of the changes from the lockdowns and the lock-ins and staying in the hotel in the venue. And he dealt with that the best out of everyone.
Yep.
And he just got down to it and saw it as an opportunity to add to his CV. And he did. As we've branched out and come back out of that, back to, you know, the real world, that hasn't been there so much. But it is, you're right, it is almost ridiculous to say that of Judd Trump, you know, the Masters champion. I tell you what I do know. He won't give a monkey's sat there with his Masters trophy listening to everyone else criticise him. He couldn't give a monkey's about it. And I'm sure he'll win again this season. I don't think there's any question about it. When it all clicks for Judd, he's almost unplayable.
Yeah. Oh, completely. I mean,
but as we always say, and I know we must sound like a broken record, but you know, out of this list, as I look down the list of these players that you know we've got here, Judd Trump would have the most unorthodox technique of them all,
yep,
bar Luca Bell. And we're going to come to Luca in a minute. But the same goes for both of them. If something slightly misfires in their technique, the way they strike the ball, if that isn't quite perfect, they can't win.
And this is where we come back to cue action. We talked about cue action before, haven't we? This is where we come back to that, isn't it? That if you've got that absolutely rock solid cue action, you've always got that to fall back on, whatever the situation, whatever the pressure and everything else that's going on, you've always got that to fall back on. Their cue actions are different. It's fair to say that. I'm not going to say that you can't say they're less effective. He's won really 24 ranking events or whatever, 23 ranking titles rather. And you know, it's clearly massively effective, but I think you're right. When he clicks, he's unplayable. You're absolutely right in what you say as well. Judd will be sat there stroking his Masters title going, I don't care. And he's absolutely right to as well. Another absolutely class player that, let's be honest, he could turn up this season and win 6 ranking titles, including the Worlds and the UK. He absolutely could do. And if he clicks, there's no one going to stop him doing that either.
I tell you what, he can't win.
Championship League.
The
fourth major. Right. In number three on the rankings is the pistol Mark Allen, Northern Ireland Open champion, UK champion, World Grand Prix champion, player of the season. He's only won 9 ranking events in his career, though, hasn't he, Sean? Which is, what, 3 less than you now?
I don't like to mention that, Phil.
I know you don't. Yeah, you like to hide that under a bushel. Hell of a season last year for Mark. Hell of a season.
Incredible season. And whilst we're talking about how, you know, ridiculous criticisms of Judd Trump, we should at this point mention a few ridiculous criticisms of Mark Allen, because there was so much of it flying around last season, particularly towards the end of the season, because there was a noticeable change in Mark's game. Somewhere around the World Grand Prix, maybe Players' Champs, where... by the way, I think he won the World Grand Prix. Is that right? Did he win the World Grand Prix? Something like that.
Mark, last season. Yeah, he did. Yeah, World Grand Prix.
Won the World Grand Prix. I'm sure during that event, I think he was playing Jack Lazowski, and he changed his game to beat Jack Lazowski.
Yeah.
And he was widely criticised for it. And that stayed in his game then till the end of the season.
Yeah.
The match against Mark Selby at the World Championships was a very difficult match to follow. That was a very gritty, very tough match. But that's sport at the highest level.
Yeah, yeah.
And he finished number one on the 1 year list by miles.
Yeah.
So I think anyone who criticised Mark really doesn't know what they're talking about. It is about winning. His trophy cabinet's getting bigger, getting fuller all the time. Now he's won back-to-back Northern Irish Opens. What we really should do is we should give him that now. We all take the week off. Although I do love going to Belfast, so I probably would still go. But we should give him that now. Just say he's won 3 of those on the spin. That's going to happen. And it'll be interesting to see if he carries on this extremely high level of consistency that he has found. And, you know, thought he might have played in Championship League, was a little surprised he didn't.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see how he kicks off when he does eventually get his cue out.
Absolutely. But, are we Chinese again in Belfast, by the way?
100%.
Absolutely. Right. Now, Mark Allen, he won the Northern Ireland Open, he won the UK Championship, he won the World Grand Prix. I'm going to give him one of these. And it's not for achieving any of those amazing things. Mark Allen gets a round of applause for being the only man I know that can go on a stag do without going through the pain of actually getting married. That's phenomenal skills. I mean, come on. You've got to clap him in there. That was superb. Who else could do that? That's amazing, isn't it?
I can't believe you went there, to be honest. I'm dumbfounded that you've gone there.
What a man. What a man.
An incredible performance on and off the table.
Yeah.
Just incredible. But I think he'll have another really good season, I have to say.
I think he will. Listen, there's absolutely nothing at all. Yeah, there's nothing at all to say Mark Allen won't have another really, really good season, because he was playing that well last season that you can't look at anything in his game and think, oh, he's going to drop off. You just can't. He just looked too good. I think another big season for Mark Allen coming up. So that's Mark Allen, the world number 3. The world number 2 and world champion, no longer Championship League champion, of course. That's gone now. Luca Brissell, the Belgian Bullet. 12 years as a pro, 4 ranking titles, 2017 China Championship, I think it was. Scottish Open in Clandidno in 21, where he beat John Higgins in the final. We've talked about that already. Last season's Championship League, and then the Worlds. Some player... Now, we've talked about it a few times. We've got our Luca Brissell watch. What is he up to? He's been enjoying himself since the Worlds. Do we expect him to kick on from that world title?
Well, he might have joined a rock band by then. Who knows? So he's certainly not lost his passport, has he?
No.
He knows where his passport is.
Hey, he was actually Instagramming about flights from Hong Kong to, I think it was New York or somewhere the other week, but how expensive flights are. And I thought, oh, great problem to have there, Luca. Do you still play snooker, by the way?
Yeah, no, I have to say, you know, Luca doesn't have the responsibilities of children and stuff and all of that. And as a young man, having just won the world, he is celebrating being world exactly as you're supposed to.
Oh, 100%. We've talked about this before. In our eyes, definitely, he is absolutely bob on, and long may that continue for Luca Brasel. But can he back that up this season? There's a lot of world champions that, you know, there is that curse in there. You win the world championship and then you drop off for a year. Is there a risk of that with Luca?
I think there is. I think there is, purely from the point of view of his technique, as we mentioned with Judd. They're actually very, very similar in their techniques, and those, their techniques, fallibilities, if that's a word, they are subject, both of them, to an incredibly basic, easy mistake at any time. If their technique doesn't quite, you know, time correctly and all marry up at the same time, you couldn't teach somebody to play the snooker that Luca Brasel plays. Completely self-taught, a complete natural. But as he has shown, when it all comes together, when it clicks, he just blew everyone away. And he did blow everyone away, even from trailing Xi Jiawei 14-5. Once he kicked in, he blew him off the table.
Yeah.
And if he returns to the tour, well, that's a separate if, isn't it? If he returns to the tour.
I'm quite sure he is coming back. He is coming back at some point, I'm sure.
Luca, please come back. if he does come back and he's able to continue from where he left off, then, you know, there is absolutely no reason why he couldn't go on to bigger and better things. Nothing could give you the injection of confidence that winning the world championship in that way could possibly give you. And wouldn't it be great for the game? I suppose the one thing I'm sort of curious about, because I've heard it said so often now, is that his success must lead to an event in Belgium and it must lead to an explosion in Europe. I haven't seen that yet. It's not on any calendars we've got. We've had updated calendars from WST a couple of times since the Crucible finished. Haven't seen any new events in Europe.
It's difficult, isn't it? We know those wheels turn very, very slowly.
It is. So what I was going to say was, you know, if that doesn't happen, I don't think we should judge that as a failure on anyone's part, because those, as you rightly say, those wheels, they turn very, very slowly. You know, a new event, a new ranking event, that might be 2 years down the line. It is because of Luca's success, but that could take 24 months.
Yeah,
if it doesn't happen this season, we shouldn't see that as anyone's failure, I don't think.
No, it won't happen this season. I'm 99% sure of that. But I think it will happen. Maybe just not this season. I think it will happen. And I also think it will give a really good boost to mainland Europe and snooker. I think it's a good thing. So that's Luca Brasel. There's only one player left. There can only be one player left. The world number one, reigning Hong Kong Masters champion, the reigning champion of champions, the Rocket Ronnie O'Sullivan, the greatest of all time. Let's get that one out of the way. He is 38 ranking titles, 7-time world champion. He reached 3 ranking events quarterfinals last season. It's interesting. He won the Hong Kong Masters Invitational. He won the Champion of Champions Invitational. As far as ranking events go, he only reached 3 quarterfinals last season. Now, he's the world number one. He won the Champion of Champions. It sounds stupid to say it, but is that a worrying fact for Ronnie O'Sullivan?
Well, I think we can all agree that the Hong Kong Masters is a bit of an outlier on that list. You know, an exhibition event. It was on, you know, pockets were the size of buckets. It was very, very hard to miss for anyone who was there. Even Marco Fu had a 147. So, you know, it was obviously much easier than every other week. So I think we can discount that. I think to still win the Champion of Champions, that's significant. And for me, you know, that's an event full of winners and winners only. End of debate. So to win that tells us he's still as good as he ever was. I expected Ronnie to have an incredible season last season as world champion, equaling Henry Seven. I thought he was going to go on and have a blistering season. For whatever reason, that didn't happen. I've got no idea why. Three quarterfinals in ranking events. Is that his worst season in ranking events ever?
It can't be far off, can it? I mean, he was pig farming for a bit, wasn't he? But other than that, it can't be far off.
What he does have, of course, throughout his timeline, is an incredible ability to turn things round. And don't be surprised if Ronnie turns up this season, you know, with an extra gear, full of determination to put everyone in their place, and all the doubters and all any critics, he's on the wane and he's this and he's that. Let's not forget, he's still world number one.
Yes, and you don't. They don't hand that out for free, do they? You know, that is, like you said, you know, you've been a pro for 40-odd years now, and you've it's still a dream for you. Sorry, you can't see the face Sean's pulling at me right now, but it's a good one. You're right, that's a massive thing. And I'm not for one second saying Ronnie O'Sullivan's on the wane or anything like that. He won the World Championship, 14, 15 months ago. He's got that bounce back ability. You've mentioned it there. He's got that ability to just come back and dominate and win the next three or four. And I wouldn't put it past him doing that either. He is the greatest of all time.
So somebody said to me at I've obviously been doing a lot of shows since the World Championship, and someone said, "Oh, how did he lose to Luca from, was it 10-6? I think he was ahead or something in the World Quarterfinals." Oh, you know, Ronnie this and Ronnie that. And I said, I was covering that match in the studio. I was watching every ball for analysis. Luca would have beaten anybody that day.
Yep.
He could have played the creator of snooker himself. And he still would have won. Luca would have beaten anyone in the corner that day. Ronnie didn't lose that match. Luca won it.
Yeah.
And then obviously went on to win the tournament. I can't categorise and I can't itemise every match that O'Sullivan played last year because you just watched too much snooker. What I will say for Ronnie is that for all the things that he gets labelled with and criticised for, and I've been very vocal in the past, and I've criticised him as well over things, when he gets out there and plays, he is the fiercest competitor that you've ever met. And I think even last season he admitted that, he admitted to in previous times saying that the game doesn't matter to him and things don't matter is just to avoid the pressure and trying to ease pressure and relieve that tension off him. It's a coping mechanism. I think he even admitted that. And I was pleased he did admit that.
Yeah.
We've all known that. And it was nice to hear him actually say it. There's nobody out there in the arena who wants to win more badly than Ronnie O'Sullivan. And if he can find that again and couple it with a bit of a run, he could go on and have a great season this season. No question.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's a theme that runs. Hendry was exactly the same, wasn't he? Was exactly the same. He was the most fierce competitor. And then Ronnie's come along and he's even more fierce, if anything. And you're right. I think it is good that he came out and said that because I've interviewed him so many times and so many times, I've got other things going on in my life. You know, I don't really care about snooker. And, you know, I'm sat there thinking, oh, come on, that's not true. I know that's not true. You know that's not true. But you can't say that to him because he just answered your question with that. You can't call someone out that's been alive. So it was good that he did come out and say that. I think it's really important. Ronnie's going nowhere. Let's be right honest. He is the world number one. He's going nowhere. He could win the champions again. He could win the worlds next year. We could be sat here and he could be world champion and still world number one. You just don't know with Ronnie O'Sullivan, but one thing's for sure, he will be there. He will be that fierce competitor once again this season. That is the top 16 in the world. Right, let's make some predictions then. So I think we've touched on a few of these already. So big titles, let's talk about the other three majors. Obviously, you've swept Hoovered up Championship League already, but let's talk about the UK, the Masters, and the Worlds. You've already mentioned Kyron Wilson is going to win one of the Triple Crown. You're going to throw yourself in the ring for this one, for one of those?
Yeah, I think Kyron's going to win the Masters.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, we're actually naming the titles as well. Okay, Kyron's winning the Masters.
Make a note. Get your pens and paper out.
It's on a podcast, Sean. It's literally on the internet forever. Okay, don't worry about that.
Good point. Well made. Right, here we go. I'm going to have Kyron Wilson to win the Masters.
Yep.
I've got Stuart Bingham to complete his Triple Crown set and win the UK Championship.
Wow, that's a huge shout.
And I'm going to win the World Championship.
There you go. You heard it here first. So, predictions from the magician. He's winning the Worlds. Ballroom Bingham, outside of the top 16, is going to win the UK. And Kyron Wilson to win the Masters. They're big
shows. I mean, what you've just said there shows it all, doesn't it? I mean, Stuart Bingham is a top 16 player all day.
And yet he's not. And this goes back to what I said right at the start of the podcast, though, Sean. You know, I was looking at this, and the strength in depth in the tour is just stupid. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like you said about Graham Dott. You've drawn Graham Dott in the first round. He's on world champion. You know, on his day, absolute class act. We're going to come on to outside the top 16 in a minute then. So you've got Kyron, yourself, and Stuart Bingham. I'm going to go with Kyron because I think Kyron will win one of the Triple Crown. I'm also going to go with you. I think you're going to win one of them. I'd love it to be the UK here in York so we can properly celebrate. I'll be honest. I think that would be good fun. If you were to win here in York, I think that would be good.
I think we'd be very poorly the day after.
Oh, I think we'd be incredibly poorly the day after. And I also think Neil Robertson will win one as well. So I think Kyron, yourself, and Robbo for the big ones this year after Championship League. So that's our predictions. What do you think at 147 Pod? Let us know. Who do you think will be winning the Triple Crown titles this season? Are we mad to not put Ronnie O'Sullivan on one of them? I don't know. Right, the next one then. And I threw this out to social media. So, one to watch outside of the top 16. Now, I'm guessing you're going with Stuart Bingham on account of the fact that you've just told us that he's going to win the UK Championship. He is outside the top 16. Now, I put this out to social media today. Fraser Gunn, hoping Joe O'Connor can keep kicking on again. He was superb up here in Edinburgh last year. Dazza says, I think Nopon Senkam should be kept an eye on. Makes it sound like he's a wrong in that. It's terrible. I think he means he could do well. The Mariners talk here, our friends down there, they're saying Joe O'Connor as well. Andrew Chase, I hope Seijia Hui will continue his rise, and Nopon is surely close to a breakthrough. Also saying that he's heard Ishpreet Singh Chadha on the BBC Snooker podcast, unlikely to go too far in a debut season, but he seemed like just the loveliest person. He hopes he does well. Cameron on Twitter, Seijia Hui, definitely. They're all liking C, aren't they? And then let's have a look. On Facebook, Chuck Jones, I could see Hossein Vafai breaking into the top 16 this season. No reason why. Hossein is class.
Has he used the word breaking there on purpose?
Yes, he's used the word breaking on purpose. Absolutely, yes. Kelly Barker, friend of the podcast. I think Seijia Hui will continue to make great strides. Winning one might be a season too early, but he definitely has the talent to do lots of damage. Pang Jung-shu is another. He's a year or so ahead of C for development and experience. I'd agree with that as well. Pang is definitely one to watch. Would be a surprise, but not the biggest shock if he were to land a trophy. She rates him highly. So who are the players outside of the top 16, would you say, that could break into it and could win trophies this season? You mentioned Stuart Bingham already, Sean.
Yeah, and I suppose like that shows, doesn't it? You know, I don't think of Stuart as a player outside of the 16. I think of him as a fully established member of the top 16.
Yeah.
I appreciate that he's currently not. I accept that, obviously. And the rankings don't tell lies. But on that basis, I'm going to stick to type. I think we will see the return of Stephen Maguire this season. I think he's gone walkabout for the last season or
dropped
two.
Right off the radar, isn't he, Mags?
Yeah, and you know, I don't know why. There could be a whole host of reasons as to why. Not least being the fact that he might have played players who've just played better on the day. That's one of the elements of snooker. I think we're going to see the return of Stephen Maguire. I think he's far too good a player to not feature in the big tournaments, to not be vying for trophies. And not to be up there doing what he does best, intimidating opponents, playing with purpose and threatening those balls, frightening those balls into the pockets. And I think another player I think we're going to see a return from had his breakthrough win a couple of seasons ago by winning the Welsh Open during lockdown. We mentioned him earlier on. I think we're going to see a bit more of Jordan Brown this year.
I hope so, because Jordy's a great lad. Really nice guy. And
Snooker on the island of Ireland, obviously where I live, is quite a close-knit community. And I do hear good things about Jordan. And I know that, you know, I know that he's a very diligent practicer, a very hard worker. And by the way, the players he beat to win that Welsh Open.
Oh, who's who? Yeah. Who's you know, who of Snooker?
Has proven beyond doubt that on his day, he could beat anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest that I think Stewart's going to win the UK to complete his set. I think we will see the return of Stephen Maguire. And I think Jordan Brown will feature in the latter stages of multiple events this season, possibly even his home event in Belfast.
That would be good to see. Okay, I'm going to throw a couple in there. So in the Maguire-Bingham envelope, Ding Junhui. I mean, how is Ding not in the top 16 in the world? The pandemic kind of messed things up for him in quite a big way. But I think Ding is going to come back. I think Ding will get back into the top 16. The other one I'm going to mention as well, and it would be no massive shock at all. I know he listens to the podcast, Chris Wakelin. Now, he won the shootout last season. He's gone well in Championship League this week. I think he reached the semi-final stage, the last group stage. You were in the group with him, I think. I don't think Chris is far away. I really don't. I think he's got all that ability, and I think the people talk about the shootout, shouldn't be a ranking event, blah, 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 blah. Winning that can give you real confidence, okay? It's a ranking title. It's a tournament win. We've seen how well he's played since then, and he has played well since then, including in Championship League this week. I think Chris Wakelin, as you said about Jordan Brown, will start to feature later and deeper in tournaments than he has done. So I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Chris Wakelin breaking into the top 16.
Yeah, I mean, I played Chris just the other day, as you mentioned, and watched him, you know, from close quarters. He does a lot of things that impress me a lot, Chris Wakelin. I wouldn't embarrass him in public. I wouldn't embarrass him in publicly by naming them. But you know, I watch him up close, and I see the way he plays. He's one breakthrough from being a proper top player. And all this, the shootout doesn't count. It shouldn't be this, and it. What an absolute load of crap that is, because winning is winning.
Yep.
Winning is difficult. Doesn't matter what it is. It does count. Build a bridge and get over it. He won. He beat everyone in front of him, and he fully deserved it. He deserved every ounce of credit that he got for it, every benefit that came with being a winner, he fully deserved. And I can tell you from having watched him from up close and competed against him, he is one small, tiny breakthrough from being a seriously, seriously top player.
Yeah, and that is exactly why he is one of my predictions, a one to watch outside the top 16 this season. Right, that is your season preview. Are we on the money or are we off the mark? Let us know at 147pod across all forms of social media. Right, we've not got time for listener questions. We've massively overrun already. The listener questions we've had in, we will hold over for the next podcast. I promise you, the rant will return in the next podcast. I assure you, Sean will not be quite as smug as he is today either, and so you should be smug as well. What are you up to the next couple of weeks before the next pod?
I do have to carve out quite a lot of time now in my diary to polish my new trophy.
He's not that big, mate. He doesn't take that long to polish.
It will take an entire thimble full of windoline to clean it, I think. So that's tomorrow morning taken care of. I've had a great off season. I have really enjoyed myself, and as I say, I've been on the road a lot with my tour and my shows, which I've really, really enjoyed. But it now is time to go back to work.
Yeah.
And so I will be going back to work, and I'll be going back to the Stevens Green Club here in Dublin, where I'm a member and where I play and practice. It's tough to improve on perfection, Phil, but I shall be attempting it.
Oh, wow.
And getting ready for the European Masters.
Wow. Well, I've got the next couple of days. I am at the Sports Stars Fishing Championship for ITV and JBD Sports Agents, which is brilliant. One of my favourite events of the year. absolutely fantastic. No snooker players in it this year for the first time in a while. But David Seaman, Barry Hearn, Derek Redmond, Gail Emms, Gary Anderson, Adrian Lewis, Jamie Jones-Buchanan. There are sporting heroes right across the spectrum that is the world of sport. Doing some rifle shooting, I think, tomorrow to pick where they fish on the lake. And then a full day's fishing to determine who will be the champion. You can watch it all on ITV4 in a few weeks' time. I will let you know when it is. It's always a good watch, always good fun. And believe me, if you want fierce competitiveness, Barry Hearn at that event every year, oh, goodness me. It's fair to say he wants to win, full stop. And he doesn't want anyone getting in his way. So, Sportstars Fishing Championship for me, it will be an absolute cracker, I'm sure. Keep an eye on my social media. I shall post all about that on there. But for now, Sean, it's time to say bye.
Great to see you.
Great to see you too. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. Get in touch with us at 147pod. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks' time. That was the 147 podcast with Sean Murphy and Phil Seymour. If you enjoyed what you've just listened to, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and interact with us across all forms of social media at 147pod. That's all words at 147pod. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.